Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Thank you, Paul. And it's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time to come back to the living and listen to another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, what's new? I know we're a little pressed for time because there's an event this evening hosted by the sports department.
That's right. Is that a lacrosse game?
That's right. It's a game where there's a ball and these sticks, and they'll tell you all about it.
It's
then
called ass kicking, and Hofstra is going to be on the other end of that. That's what all I've heard. All I know. So,
all right.
Tune in 6:45. But now it's Off the Wall. Emmanuel and Kyle, we're going to be talking. I've got some things to say.
All sure. Right?
I've got something weighing on my mind, and I feel I'm told that the best thing to do is just simply let it out. So I'm going to let it out. I'm going to use some words. I'm going to use some bad words.
All right. Choose your words carefully. Well, go quickly. We don't have a lot of time. It's
all right, Kyle. We'll get to it.
I don't want to sweat you on this, but you know, the clock's ticking.
I'm going to have more words if you're not careful. So, you know, we're walking into the studio just now, commenting to ourselves and to the person walking next to us at an uncomfortable pace that you can't seem to pass them or have them pass you, so you wind up bringing them into the conversation. I hate that. But, you know, whatever. I happen to mention, you know, it's cold out. It's cold. But look at the damn sky. There's no clouds. We had, last week, all right, I was cautiously optimistic. It was snowing. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of snow, but it was something. But what happened? What happened? The temperature went up to 33 degrees Fahrenheit. And then the heavens opened up. Just like it did the last 7 times, okay? We have these cold snaps that are dry, and then we have these moist, warm snaps. I don't even know if they call it a warm snap, but it's ridiculous, and I'm starting to take it personally. In fact, I've long since started taking it personally. This winter is terrible. This is an awful winter for me personally, okay? I like snow because that's what winter is. Winter should have snow in it, and everybody is getting snow except me. They're getting snow in Washington, D.C. They're getting snow in Boston. They're getting snow, of course, in Canada. They're getting snow in Arizona. Everywhere. It's, why? What did I do? I don't want this. It's the end of February 26th. We only have 2 days left because it's one of the short Februarys. And, you know, you don't get much snow in March. I know that. What did I do? What did I do to deserve this?
I'm not entirely sure what the answer to that is, but I do know that California, and in particular Mount Shasta, is going to get 11 feet in the next 56 or 48 hours.
How does that even happen?
They're going to get 7 feet and then 11 feet, I think.
It's just a wall of snow that comes down from the heavens? How do you get that kind of amount?
So I was watching the weather type channels, and there's apparently a Pineapple Express, which is a type of weather system from Hawaii. And that moisture comes in, and right now it's coming in to the west in what is called a river, a tropical river front or something.
And they're getting snow from the Pineapple Express?
Basically a channel of moisture coming from the tropical area in the Pacific we know as Hawaii, and then that hits California, and they're getting a significant dump of snow.
We had a polar vortex, for God's sake. A polar vortex. We didn't get any snow out of that.
11?
All right? I am ripped off. I feel ripped off.
7 feet, then 11 feet.
And I don't care if the consumer division people don't want to hear about it. It is a consumer issue, okay? Because I would have bought a snow shovel. All right? And now I can't do that.
That's not true. Don't lie to the people.
You think I couldn't have broken the one we have now?
We already broke it, and we've been using the same broken one every year, and every time it does snow, you're like, yeah, I don't want to be one of those people buying a snow shovel when it snows. So you know what?
They didn't have them in July. They didn't have them in the middle of the summer when I wanted to buy it.
We'll discuss this after the show.
All right. Some people might say there's more important things to talk
about,
especially an abbreviated show.
No,
I just want to say I'm mad.
Well, be mad.
And damn it, because I said I was going to use bad words, and I did.
You should be more upset that Antarctica's an ice shelf there is breaking up again.
Well, could it come over here, maybe?
It might.
Have ice, like, just pass by and you know what? I give up. It doesn't matter. I'm never going to see snow again, apparently. We saw snow in Krakow. Thank God we went to Krakow. We couldn't even find snow in Iceland. Iceland, for God's sake, in January, we couldn't find snow.
Yeah, they were having unusual weather there. We've already covered this. We've mentioned it. We're upset. The weather gods, please take note, and you're not welcome to listen to the show anymore until you provide snow. There, I made a rule.
All right, you can't dictate who listens and who doesn't listen.
Well,
because this is radio, for one thing.
All right.
You know, if this was just on the internet, you could block people from listening to you. You can do that on the internet. That's what's different about radio and the internet. We can't keep you from listening. We can't. It might make more people listen to the show, too, if we tell people, like, you know, we don't want them to listen, then they will listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just realized, you know, we are transmitting into the ether, right? So that's the snow gods and weather gods of whatever.
And it goes beyond the planet, too. We can't stop aliens from listening to
us. They could be minor gods. I don't know if they're god gods. But anyway, I don't want to get religious about this whole thing. But
gods under 18?
Minor gods, you know, like ancillary, periphery gods.
Are there junior gods? Are there kid gods?
Mini gods?
Because gods have to, I mean, go through puberty and everything.
Well, it's a whole thing with, like, the polytheism. And, you know, I'm kind of running under the presumption that maybe it is monotheistic, or there are many, or one, or either way. But whatever force is in charge of the weather could get our signal.
The weather god,
yes. Can't block that. It's actually going into the sky, you know, into the weather system. So there is no real blocking.
Well, I just thought of something. I just mentioned that, you know, God's going through puberty, and I'm sure that's been talked about to death. But I've never seen a documentary or a miniseries or a reality-type show about Jesus Christ going through puberty. Imagine what that would be like. You know, the awkward stage where
Teenage Jesus.
Teenage Jesus, where he's rebelling and where his voice is cracking, where he wants to know more about girls and, you know, other things, you know, that are out there that other kids are talking about. And I don't know. I just think maybe this is something Lifetime or TLC or one of those networks could get on.
Or CBN. You know, and they're too busy making, like, you know, a religious death metal.
Wait, but they don't even
cover
exist.
Bands
there
or
is
whatever.
No CBN anymore. They turned it to ABC Family Channel.
Well, I don't know what the
they
God
turned it to more
is.
Networks.
What God channel is there? There's probably a lot of God channels.
There's a bunch of them, but I think this is something that you'll have to mainstream a little bit more. It has to be more of a non-purely God channel thing. That's why I said Lifetime or TLC.
Oh, Christ. The awkward years.
Is there still a TLC? I haven't seen TLC in forever.
There's all these Turner Classic Movies, the Lifetime Channel.
Yeah, why do you bring that one up? That's got nothing to do with it. Turner Classic Movies actually does show movies, and they haven't strayed. Bravo, A&E, I remember when these channels would show opera at night and foreign films and things like that. Now they're all the same. They show American crime dramas and reality shows. Even the Sci-Fi Network, which isn't called the Sci-Fi Network anymore, has reality shows, which is ridiculous. It just seems like they all kind of turn into the same thing. Remember Independent Film Channel that used to show, guess what, independent films? They don't do that anymore.
Well, I think the mandate and the funding kind of runs out.
Sundance, they were in that channel. They're all stupid.
Right. The mandate, the funding eventually runs out. They have churn and turnover with the advertisers who then compel different kinds of programming. Maybe they lose one or two or ten programming managers or production. That stuff morphs. As I don't know what's involved in running a TV channel, but there's, you know, if it's anything like community radio, it tends to change and move in a unpredictable way. It's not a linear thing. So yeah, it may have started as one or the other type of channels, but it morphs. And so yeah, if they don't have a strong mandate and creative team and a vision, that can get lost over, you know, a long period of time as it develops. And you know, once sponsorships or other things don't really, or the advertising goes one or the other ways, you know, you have a couple hiccups along the way, and the whole thing could completely change and then end up, as you've noted, completely different than it ever started or was ever supposed to be. And that, I think, is very common in television.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they all seem to turn into the same thing. They all kind of turn into this bland, like, you know, middle-aged America stupidity.
Well, it runs the average, right? And then that is the average of whatever advertisers are left, and then however that influences or compels the programming. If you know, the ad revenue dries up and the only sponsors are, like, you know, laundry detergent and whatever else, that's not going to be enough, or that may be just barely enough to keep it going with reruns, not producing new stuff and bringing in new ideas. If you have a healthy commercial model that you would expect, you know, producers can fund new programming and all the stuff that takes under the advertising model, it's going to wane eventually.
Advertising model is healthy commercial crap, because there's no such thing, all right? Look at radio. Look at commercial radio and how bland that is, how nobody wants to take a chance. It's ridiculous. You don't have actual new music or alternative music. You don't have electronic music. There should be electronic commercial music channel like there is in England. There's so much. There's so much out there, and nobody wants to take a chance because they want to pay the bills with the commercials they have, and they don't want to stand out too much because being conservative is safe.
Well,
that's what it is.
It's also the advertisers compelling that, because they themselves then consider to feel as though they have a stake and a say in what the programming is. And a lot of those advertisers are extra vanilla, and they don't want to stick their necks out. They don't want any kind of controversial programming. They don't want to be aligned with anything that might, you know, not necessarily represent their entire brand or their points of view. But I'd say even, you know, the eclectic place like here, community radio, I mean, mm-hmm. we have like one electronic music show every other week or something.
Really?
I think Omega Radio's it, and they alternate. I'm not sure what other electronic shows we have. I mean, we have a lot of eclectic music, but how many electronic music shows are there on WSB? I don't know. I should know, and the fact that I don't tells me we don't have enough.
Well, you know, we should listen 24/7 to find out for sure if there isn't another one. But if there is, I'd like to hear it. And if there isn't, I'd like to hear more. You know, that's the thing. When you listen to a station like USB, not only will you get people going nuts over various issues that they want to speak out about, but you'll hear such a variety of music and opinion and things like that. It's really, I just got to say one thing before we move on. I was listening to a show a couple of Fridays ago where this woman was on the air in the afternoon. It's a great show. She was talking about Nigerian elections, which turned out not to happen.
No, that's Afrobeat Radio.
It was an awesome show. I couldn't stop listening to it.
And, that's with Daisy.
I didn't know what it was, so I went to the website to find out what it was, and that's how I discovered the website was broken. and thanks to that radio show, we discovered the website was broken, and we fixed it.
I like that show, too, though. Daisy, I think, is the host, and she's really, really good.
It's simply amazing the diversity that that you have on this station, and that's incredible, and that's without the help of any sponsors or safe commercialization or any of that nonsense, because that's not what people are. It might be what you make the most money at, but it's not what what's interesting. Anyway, before we run out of time completely, because we only have a half hour left.
Yeah, faster.
I'd like to be offensive. I'd like to read something offensive. All right,
please.
Because this is something that it pains me to have to say these words, but people need to confront them head on. You know, our leadership certainly has done this, saw it for what it was, and I think we need to attack it and dissect it. When people say ugly things, you have to confront the issue. And got to say, you know, watching the Oscars on Sunday, seeing the filth that Spike Lee said on stage. Listen to this. All right. I want to thank Tonya. I don't know what that means. It says Louis Lee, his wife. I guess that's her full name or something. Okay. You know what? I can overlook that. That doesn't offend me too much. But okay. Let's look at this. The word today is irony. All right. The date, the 24th, the month of February, which happens to be the shortest month of the year, which also happens to be Black History Month. The year 2019, the year 1619. History, her story, 1619, 2019, 400 years. 400 years our ancestors were stolen from Africa and brought to Jamestown, Virginia to be enslaved. Our ancestors worked the land from morning to night. My grandmother lived to be 100 years young, who was a Spelman College graduate, even though her mother was a slave. My grandma, who saved 50 years of Social Security checks to put her first grandchild, she called me Spikey Poo, put me through Morehouse College and NYU Film. NYU. All right, settle down. I know this has already upset a lot of people, but I want to finish, okay? Okay, all right, hang in there. Before the world tonight, I can praise our ancestors who helped build this country into what it was today, along with the genocide of its native people. If we all connect with our ancestors, we will have love, wisdom, and regain our humanity. It will be a powerful moment. The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there. Wow. I cannot believe somebody would have the audacity, the gall, to go on national television and attack our president like that. To spew forth this racist, horrible nonsense. Well, at least that's what Trump said.
Yeah, come on. We don't have enough time
that's
for
what
you
Trump
to
said.
Balderdash for 10 minutes
he called,
vamping garbage.
He called that speech an attack on him and racist. And, you know, I've read this thing through several times. And somebody takes offense when someone urges people to choose love versus hate. Actually, he didn't even say that. He said make the moral choice between love versus hate. So I guess, you know, if you really want hate, then if that's moral choice for you, all right, that might work. Was Trump, like, offended that he's talking about slavery? You know, slavery happened. It was a thing. It really happened. There is nothing in this that is not true. And Trump's name wasn't mentioned once. In fact, I don't think his name was mentioned during the entire award ceremony. But to instantly, as soon as someone is calling attention to a horrible injustice, if you take offense at that, you're kind of defending the injustice. You know, if you're not being blamed for it directly, I was really wondering if I missed something here, but I don't think I did.
Well, it's racist against white people and slave owners and stuff.
Doesn't even say that. You know, it's doesn't even put the blame where the blame should be put.
It frames it as though whites and slave owners were the problem, and that's revisionist and as far as the president's concerned.
Well, you know, again, the word white is not in here at all. There's a reference to Black History Month.
Well, so it's not the whites who were enslaved. Let's, you know.
Could have been Chinese people. I don't know. But the point is, this is ridiculous to take offense at this, but it's also very telling, very revealing. That he instantly sees that as an attack on him. That's kind of what it is, I guess, because if you stand up for justice, for equality, for love versus hate, you are standing up against Trump. He just basically said it himself.
It's egocentric, any? I mean, what kind of mental gymnastics do you have to do to get this to be about him? I mean, that's some mania for you.
Well, he was upset that all the black films are winning, too. I know that. I just don't get how anybody can defend this guy anymore. It's just, it gets worse and worse every week. Look at this. Big brassy letters spelling Trump will be ripped off another New York City apartment tower. This time it won't be me and Kyle doing it. It's actually the people who live there. Owners got an email on Friday from the board of a high-rise on Manhattan's west side confirming that Trump Place will disappear from the facade in coming weeks. What's wrong with the word place, though? You can still keep the place. Just don't make it Trump Place. You know? Just do something. Just make it the place.
Or take the T off. Make it Rump Place.
All right. That's still too close, though.
Yeah, it is.
Because I think of that every time I see Trump.
And, yeah, me too. We're a rump face.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's so many words that rhyme with Trump that we're not using to their full potential. Dump, obviously. Sump. Rump. They're all kind of negative.
Grump.
Grump. I don't know what it is about that particular phrase, but it just makes you think of negative things. I know there's more, too. Frump. Is that negative?
Yeah, frump, like frumpy.
Gump. I never liked that film. Hump.
There's no R.
Jump is actually not a negative connotation, but lump, that's, you know, that's, you have the mumps, so that's not pleasant.
No, nobody likes that. It never is.
No.
Moving on. What else you got? I don't want to dedicate any more than
Well,
this
I'm just minute. Saying, that. So they basically, 220 Riverside Boulevard,
okay.
they voted to remove the Trump name. The Trump organization now still manages the condo. I would kick them out. You know, the thing is with condos, you can fire the management organization. They can fire you, too. It's a weird thing that they have there. The organization can fire the condo, and the condo can fire the organization, but don't keep them. Don't keep them at all. They're all going to prison anyway. So three adjacent buildings dropped Trump's name before he took office, and then another one did last fall. I think that's it. I think there aren't any left other than, you know, the tower on Fifth Avenue. But I think any other building that had that name, it's done.
Yeah, it's. I would just comment. It's like a tarnished brand. At this point,
yep.
That it would not be good on a facade. That was their whole thing, is that every building and, you know, entity they operate and are associated with has the Trump brand and name associated with it. And to have places, people's homes, ostensibly, in a big city like New York, to say, you know, this really isn't us. We don't want to share our homes with this brand or be identified with it. It's uncomfortable when we invite friends over, and we don't like giving directions, and we think he's a disgrace. Whatever motivated it, I don't know. I'm making that up, but I'm curious how it came about. And was this the management company's choice because they were getting complaints, or was it the homeowners there who said, you know what, we've got a problem with this. You work for us. Let's change it now. It sounds like the latter, but it's very curious.
I would have trouble visiting somebody at a place called Trump Anything. If
you
invite me to Thanksgiving and it's at a Trump Anything, I'm going to say, no, let's either meet someplace else or...
not at all.
Why don't you move out? Yeah, just, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
No, me either.
And fortunately, there are no Trump boulevards or streets. You know, I'm thinking that Trump might be the first president to have less things named after him after he gets out of office than more things, like every other president.
Yeah.
You know, that's something.
I'm not that tacky. I don't want to stoop that low.
Mm-hmm.
I have more class than that.
I know you do. I know you do. Then again, just about everybody has more class than...
If I can help it, I will not ever set foot in any such structure.
Unless it's to condemn it or to free people who are locked inside, perhaps. Or, you know, there are some reasons, but never on a social call.
Right, and not very many that I would broadcast.
Exactly. Although it would be fun to broadcast from there and have to be dragged out bodily, but...
Before it's imploded or something?
I don't know. We'll figure something out, I'm sure. We know how to have fun.
Well, when we find out, we'll be there for that day if we get the invitation.
So, now, we have to talk about the kind of popcorn that is best to have. Now, I'm looking for something that would last most of the afternoon. But I don't want something too salty, but I don't want something that's not salty. You know what I mean?
What are we talking about?
Well, we have to be prepared for tomorrow, the hearings. Michael Cohen is testifying before Congress publicly. He testified today privately. I imagine it might still be going on, a lot of screaming. But he's going to basically say something. You think we're saying things today. Oh, boy, tune in tomorrow to C-SPAN or whatever news network. Everybody's covering it.
I believe Steve Bannon was the first to say that he is going to sing. He's going to sing like a bird.
Did he say that?
I believe that was Steve Bannon who predicted that Cohen will sing. And he's going to be just going on. It'll be operatic, I believe.
Well, you know,
he's going to be grilled.
He's going to be grilled, but he's also going to have some things to say. And is this the president's former lawyer, who was praised to the heavens in the early days and then dropped
something. Old porn star?
Nice. That's too real. Dropped like. Boy, I need to have more metaphors.
Like a show on the Lifetime Network?
Okay, yeah.
Like the programming director on Sci-Fi Channel?
All right, yeah, something like that. That just dropped like something you don't want to carry anymore.
Like an anvil?
Now, Trump does that to so many people, and that's why so many people turn against him, because he's not loyal. And, somebody who is in favor one day is a complete enemy the next day. It's kind of like Stalin, you know? It's sort of like what happened in the Soviet Union and various other totalitarian regimes. It's kind of endemic of that. Cohen basically did a 180 and is now basically, as you said, singing, saying all kinds of things. Now, the Republicans, I know, want to just say, oh, yeah, he's making it all up. Think about that. Think about what you would have to do to be loyal and then to suddenly just change your tune and start saying nonsense. And multiply that by all the other people that have done the same thing, and it's not really realistic, is it, to have that happen? There's got to be something to it.
It's emblematic of a survival instinct of people who come to Jesus, as the term is oft said. It is a realization that if they're to survive, they need to say the right things, kind of like do the right thing. But, and they're not going to survive if they stick with the omerta or whatever with their loyalty to this disloyal chump.
But, okay, here's the thing, though. He's already going to prison. We all know that. He doesn't gain anything by doing this. It's not like his sentence is going to be lightened because he's testifying in front of Congress and saying all these things. So that, to me, tells me that he's got to be telling the truth, right? I mean, what does he have to gain from lying about this? Unless he just wants to make him squirm. But that seems like a lot to carry to put yourself on national TV like this.
But if you were, like, right-hand man and then you were cast aside and, like, dismissed and disavowed the way you were, wouldn't you be comfortable being, like, really forthright?
No, I would.
And in being on the right side of history, that kind of thing?
I would be working on the inside to try and crumble the empire from within. All right, I'd be planting all kinds of...
You need help with that, though.
I'm just telling you what I would do, what works,
okay.
what I would imagine works. You instill doubt in all the people that still stand by this guy who double-crossed you, who left you out to dry, you know, and I'm just getting too caught up in this. But the point is, yeah, we don't have time.
We don't have time. We don't have time. Don't get caught up.
Anyway, the thing is, he is testifying tomorrow morning, starting tomorrow morning, going well into late night hours, I think. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be amazing and very revealing. And we have to listen. We have to listen to what he says. And to simply make this a political thing and say, well, everything he says has to be false because he's attacking the president, or everything he says is true. Maybe, you know, there are some things that he's not getting right, that he's lying about. That's possible, too. We have to, you know, be open to those possibilities. But to not listen, to dismiss out of hand, that, to me, is just going into this with your eyes closed.
Yeah. I would just remind people that this is 3 days of testimony. The two days, I think, are closed sessions, and tomorrow would be the public testimony. So there's a lot we don't get to hear, and that is entrusted with your representatives, senators, and so on. Those lawmakers are hearing all kinds of stuff behind closed doors. So as much as Trump wants to distance himself from this gentleman, this was his right-hand guy. And we're going to hear a sliver of what he has to say, I guess more or less sanitized version for public distribution. And it's very interesting how much he won't be saying, because a lot of this is still ongoing, and how important that testimony is in these other cases, in the Trump Organization itself, or the campaign, whatever part of it you're talking about, but also in the president's culpability. This is someone who has a lot of information about how all of this stuff worked, and he's not defending him. He is going before our government in opposition, or at least to testify against, more or less.
Well, or tell the truth, which is the same thing as opposition.
Pretty much at this point, because we know how much a damn liar this Trump-in-chief or whatever he is.
Well,
he
finally made it to Vietnam, you know, so there's that, living up to those responsibilities.
Good job.
Yeah. You know, Vietnam, you can keep him. Seriously, I don't know how that's going to go, but we can talk about that in the minutes we have left. But one other thing, though, concerning the Michael Cohen testimony, which I find to be simply unbelievable, but that word no longer has any meaning. There is this representative down in Florida named Matt Gaetz. That's spelled G-A-E-T-Z, but apparently it's pronounced Gaetz. He basically, this happened today, he tweeted this to Michael Cohen. Well, listen to this carefully. This is a congressman. Do your wife and father-in-law know about your girlfriends? Maybe tonight would be a good time for that chat. I wonder if she'll remain faithful when you're in prison. She's about to learn a lot. My God, this guy just threatened Michael Cohen. A congressman just threatened him, basically saying, if you testify, all of this will be revealed about you. I mean, how is this guy still walking around free and is tampering with the witness? Even I know that's completely wrong. I
right
have to double check to make sure that actually happened.
And right before it's public testimony.
Absolutely.
I mean, they had this testimony like delayed a week because of that kind of stuff. I think Roger Stone was doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now we have elected officials doing just that. Oh, gosh.
These people, they are such crooks.
Turnabout is fair play, people.
I'm flabbergasted. I am beside myself. It's to do this. Is he going to say his account was hacked? Is that what's going to happen?
They're disgusting people.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly, definitely. But yeah, that's Matt Gaetz from Florida.
Real winner.
I'm really curious what happens here, because that is witness tampering. That's basically trying to intimidate somebody who's about to say something, about to spill the beans. And how low will they sink? It's again, no words. There are no words. So, yeah, get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a fascinating day tomorrow.
I'm curious. There's blue tortilla chips, like blue corn tortilla chips.
No, I finished those.
Oh, you ate them all?
Damn. Yeah, we have the other kind.
I just realized, is there blue popcorn?
Hmm.
I don't know. It came to me when you were talking about popcorn. I started thinking about types of popcorn.
Well, honestly, certainly with all those chemical plants in New Jersey that put food flavoring.
No.
They could make it. They could make it any color you want.
No, that's America. I'm talking about, like, natural.
Are there fields of blue corn? That's
blue
what you're asking?
Corn.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to be patriotic, but you could get red corn, too, and then have red, white, and blue corn.
Oh, wouldn't that be something to see when you fly over the states?
Yeah.
You know, red, white, and blue corn.
You'd be like, oh, France. Vive la France.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, open to any other snack ideas that listeners might have as well. Write to us, otw at 2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. Vietnam. Yeah, Trump is in Vietnam right now. We watched Kim Jong-un arrive by train yesterday. We had a live feed to this train station, which is on the border of Vietnam and China.
Yeah.
And we were waiting for the train to show up. It's great to be able to watch these live feeds. And the reason why he got off the train there is also interesting, because Vietnam and China have different gauge tracks. Yeah, Vietnam and China don't get along that well. And the width of the track changes in various parts of the world. When you're going from Western Europe to Eastern Europe, it changes. Right at the Poland-Belarus border is one place. And then going out of Russia, through Mongolia, after Mongolia into China, it changes back again. At least I assume it's changing back to the same gauge that it was before. Vietnam changes again. So the train can't keep going from China. He took the train from Pyongyang, North Korea, which apparently has the same gauge as China. In fact, I know this. I've taken that train. He went down, bypassed Beijing, went all the way down through China into Vietnam, and as soon as he got to the border, had to get off and get into a car.
Yes. Yeah.
And, whereas Trump flew.
And I'm curious. And Kim Jong-un did not want to fly because last time he had to take a Chinese plane, and apparently was not happy with that. And preferred his armored train. And the train, of course, is itself an entire, I guess, city or like a office
Did
for
him.
Did
you see how long that was?
It's a very long train. I'm curious if his vehicle is probably shipped on the train as well, similar to the way the president's vehicles are shipped in prior. But this, he probably has a lot of things with him on the train because it's so long. They can probably accommodate carrying vehicles.
If the train's that long, he's got to be bringing a lot of things with him.
When I read a really interesting book about the family in North Korea, the dynasty itself, and apparently his father and grandfather also took these trains, and they're a very lively atmosphere. So though it was a three-day trip, a very long trip, they probably had a lot of seafood and cases of wine and all those things left for them along the way, because that was the only evidence of what those train rides were like, were secondhand reports of what was delivered to the platforms along the way.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Since I've been to North Korea, I'm going to say I'll bet there was karaoke on that train.
They probably had a little karaoke.
I'll bet there was. You got to get it right. You got to get it right.
Soju bar.
Uh-huh.
And
snake soju. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Definitely.
And probably cases and cases of champagne. It was probably a pretty nice party. Probably.
But when his grandfather took the train, Kim Il-sung took the train in the 1950s through China. Actually, back then, North Korea was better off than China was. Think about that. North Korea was doing better than China. So now Kim Jong-un has taken the train, and will probably take the train back, is seeing this very prosperous country and maybe being filled with ideas. And this is, I think, the one thing that Trump can actually accomplish. I've said this before. He's going to mess it up somehow. He's probably going to give away too much or say something stupid. Who knows? But engaging in dialogue, I've always supported that, and that's something you always have to do. Too bad Trump doesn't get that with almost every other country. But look what's happening now. You're simply talking to this guy. The nuclear tests have stopped. They just want a seat at the table. They just want to be taken seriously. And once you do that, you know, your diplomacy kicks in. If you're any good at it, you can get some things done. But this is better. This is better than just having somebody isolated.
Yeah, I think he deserves credit for it, and I do think he's still a chump and that he will probably mess it up in some horrible gaffe.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't buy that he's the only one that could have done this.
No.
I totally could see Hillary doing this.
But the thing is, you have to have some kind of courage. I'm not saying he's got courage so much, but he does what he wants to do.
But you're
not always the same thing as courage, but you do have to stand up against the status quo, and most politicians will never do that.
But you're telling me that Hillary is going to have more of a hawk in there than John Bolton? I mean,
well,
I just don't see her. I definitely see her working with South Korea and Moon Jae-in and all of the goodwill over the Olympics and all that. I could see her having done that, and I could see her trying to walk this stuff back, maybe meeting him. I don't know. Meeting him, that was sooner than I think maybe Hillary could have pulled off.
It's below the office of the president to meet with a dictator like Kim Jong-un.
Right.
But
so she
Trump
would have been,
doesn't have that problem.
She would have been old school and probably filtered more than Trump.
Yeah.
But I just do not buy that he's somehow special because he's a bull in a china shop or, you know, oblivious or does deals. I just don't buy that, like, there's some magic there.
Look,
that,
Trump
that he
looks at him and sees a younger Trump.
Yeah, there's that. Okay, so they have this sort of kinship for both being disasters. But I just, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just the weird timing and the synchronization of the circumstances that I think that unusual coincidental nature is more has more of an effect than him being ideal for this. I think it just happened that that they somehow they sort of see eye to eye and so on. I don't feel like that it's some skill that he's ordained with. They just happen to both be monsters.
Well, it's good that Trump finally made it to Vietnam. Maybe now I can have those bone spurs looked at. See just how serious that was. But we're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. Please write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know your opinions on all these things. But do watch the Michael Cohen hearing tomorrow. It's going to be so entertaining. But for now, stay tuned for the ass-kicking of Hofstra in lacrosse. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. This is a goodbye to the Cranberries. I couldn't think of a more fitting way to do that from their forthcoming album in a couple of months. This is Emmanuel for Kyle and the rest of the off-the-wall staff. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.
Bye.